Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a game that I play sometimes with our confirmation students, sometimes even if I'm able to get adults to do it. It's kind of a fun exercise. It's called Flip the Tarp. I don't know if you've had the chance to do something like this, but everybody gets on a tarp, and it works best if there's almost no more room to get one person so that they're standing on the tarp. And the goal is to, without anybody stepping off the tarp, turn the tarp over while still standing on it. It can be done, and it is an exercise that is wonderfully creative and allows for innovation and teamwork to teach groups, again, of children or adults, that things can be done. Even tasks that seem difficult can be done. There is an opportunity, difficult though it may be, to see things from a different perspective. It's a wonderful way of looking at what does it mean to plan for the future? How do we see ourselves moving into the future? How can we work together? How can we be the people of God called to do these things, which may be difficult, but with ingenuity and a little time and patience and teamwork, we can get it done. There's such a thing as called a paradigm shift. I don't know if you've heard of this or not, but it's a shift in approach or the underlying assumptions. And these happen all kinds of ways in our world and in our lives. For instance, if I were to show you this picture, you would probably say that you see a rabbit. Now, you probably also see the other animal, but you probably saw the rabbit first. But if I do it this way, you're much more likely to see the duck. It has to do with the assumptions that you first make when you first begin to see that picture come onto the screen. It has to do with the point of view, whether I'm bringing the picture in from the left side or the right side. It has to do with shifting our perspectives of how we look at things. Paradigm shifts happen in families when a baby comes into the family. Sometimes also when a family decides to move. The surroundings are different, but the stuff that we pull out of the truck and put in the new house still is strangely the same. Maybe sometimes you wish that you could just get rid of all of the furniture and everything and start completely new. But that's always why paradigm shifts are difficult. That's one of the reasons why they're difficult. Because we continue to see some of the same things. Sometimes find it a blessing to be able to hold on to those values, and those hopes, and the things that we're used to as life changes. Paradigm shifts come in our world as new technology is brought into our sphere of influence. 500 years ago, the printing press changed the way everybody looked at society, and in our own age, cell phones and instant communication are doing some of the very same things. Or when revolution sparks a change and a new direction for society, the paradigm shifts, and we are called to live into it. And it's exactly what Jesus is doing when he approaches these people on the seashore in Galilee and says to them, "The kingdom of God has come. Repent and believe." Now, repentance here doesn't just mean that we ought to, be ashamed of the things that we have done. Although if that is the case, then, sometimes that is a good motivating factor. But when Jesus uses the word repent here, he's not so much talking about the things that these fishermen have done or not done. He knows that they are generally good people, probably cheat their customers a little bit once in a while, but only for a little bit of gain. Rather, Jesus is talking about repentance as a new way of living into the future, a new way of seeing things from a different perspective, a paradigm shift, if you will, to understand the world from God's point of view and the kingdom of God. It's exactly what Jonah does not do early in the story of Jonah when God says to him, "Go, Jonah, to the city of Nineveh," and Jonah decides to go the other direction. Jonah does not want to live into God's new paradigm of proclamation to the Ninevites. Jonah says, "No way, God, I'm not going to do that. That's not part of how I think our world and my life should go." And even when Jonah is swallowed by that great fish and spewed up onto the beach, and God says to him again, like we heard today, "Go to Nineveh and proclaim to it," Jonah repents. He does go and enters into that paradigm, sharing the words that God has given him to share. But the believing part is where Jonah has some trouble, for he still does not want to accept this new opportunity that God has for welcoming strangers into the fold. Jesus says to the new disciples, "Repent and believe." Repent. Turn over the tarp. See things in a new way. Choose to look in a direction that you're not used to looking. And then believe and live into that new future. Live into it with all of your life, with all of your body, with all of your heart and your soul. You see, these are action words. Only we've turned them into decisions of our mind. Repentance becomes something that we do on our own, something privately, something that is only between us and God, a confession of our sins. And believing is something that we think, thinking that we have the right frame of mind, the right ways of knowing and understanding who God is and what God has for us. But when Jesus uses these words, repent and believe, he's encouraging and summoning these disciples into an action, which is why the little piece about their father Zebedee is so important. You see, when Jesus calls to repent and believe, there is a call to action, and there is a sacrifice. There are things that need to be left behind in order to enter into the new that God is calling. Because this is about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God that is always oriented toward the poor, toward the sick, toward the marginalized in our society, even as it once came to us and continually day by day comes to us in our weakness, in our poverty, in our ostracization. We are called to leave what is comfortable and venture out into what is new. And even today, the hand of God reaches into this community, into this congregation, calling us to repent and believe, to move in new directions, and to see and act into the goodness that God is calling to us. And so we plan for the future. And so we put together strategic planning teams and offer conversations and hear the voices, not just of this team, but of all of our congregation, to know what is the will of the Spirit. What is the will of God to live into our future? Not to deny the past. Not to put away something that has been valuable for so many years, but to recognize that our world does change and our world has brought us to a new day in which God is calling us in new and wonderful ways to flip the tarp, to shift the paradigm, and to hear Jesus in new ways, to repent, seeing this new day that has come upon us, to believe, to put one foot in front of the other, and act for the goodness of this community, this congregation, for the sake of those whose lives will be transformed because of it. As Paul says in the first Corinthians letter today, this present form of the world is passing away. But also that we might look to the psalm and trust in God at all times. Pour out our hearts and remember that God is our refuge. Jesus holds out his hand to us individually and to us as a community to repent and believe that we too, along with Jesus, might proclaim the good news of God. Amen.